good to have you with us on Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Coming up, it's an open phone segment a little bit later, as we're a couple days in front of Valentine's Day. I want to ask you if you have a particular phobia, how that plays out in your romantic relationship or your marriage. What are the ways that you and your partner negotiate around a limitation that your phobia may pose? That's later this hour on KPCC. But first, the statewide ballot proposition that you'll be voting on March 3rd. It's Proposition 13. No, not the one that dealt with property tax in California, that landmark measure. This Proposition 13 is the only statewide measure on the March 3rd ballot. It would issue a $15 billion bond to build, repair, and modernize schools, kindergarten all the way through high schools, community colleges, state universities, and the UC system. With us to speak in favor of Prop 13 is Democratic State Senator from Alameda and Contra Costa County, Steve Glaser. Senator, thank you for being with us. Share with us why you think this ballot measure is important to state schools.
Well, Larry, thank you for having me on your show, and thank you for the wonderful public service that you do and have been doing for a long time.
So, thank you. On your Appreciate show. That.
This is a measure that would help our K-12 schools as well as our universities in providing crucial funding to keep our kids in schools that have clean and safe water. That would get asbestos and toxic mold out of our schools. And so it's incredibly important on a lot of levels for making sure our education system is the best it can be for our students.
One of the issues, I would think, for state taxpayers is so many local school districts have had their own bond measures to do this very same things for their districts. They've, in many cases, passed these, and voters have committed to them. Now, if you have a state measure on top of that, what do you say to those voters who might say, well, I've already paid for this for the students in my district. Why should I take on something for students throughout the state?
Well, both these measures, both the local measures and the state measures, go hand in hand because the state measure, part of the funding is a match for funds that are raised locally. So it allows locals communities to actually raise more money for their schools without having to come out directly from their taxpayers. So these local and state bonds go hand in hand. In the case of a state bond, the cost of it is not an increase in taxes, so this measure doesn't increase taxes. The cost of that borrowing is paid for out of the general operating fund of the state. So in that case, there's no direct tax impact out of Proposition 13 on a state bond. If you pass a local bond, there is a direct tax impact. But your money goes further because you're going to get, hopefully, a matching amount from the state.
Also with us from the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association, president of that organization, John Kupal. John, good to have you with us again. What are your concerns about this $15 billion bond prop?
Well, first of all, hi, Larry, and hi, Senator Glaser. It's always a pleasure. The senator's always a good advocate for his positions. I appreciate having him up here in Sacramento. We have a number of concerns. Number one is the growing amount of debt in the state of California. Debt service is one of the fastest growing areas of the state's general fund. And we can talk about the $15 billion being a significant amount in its own right. But also the LAO indicates that the cost, the interest cost of this bond measure is very substantial, increasing the cost to almost $26 billion. And, you know, Wall Street likes that. There is a huge thirst for double tax-exempt bonds in California. And so the bond industry, the bond councils, bond underwriters, bond brokers, that they like California debt. But at a time when California has a cumulative surplus of $22 billion, I think one of our threshold questions is, should we not be paying for some of these critical needs with existing revenue? And let me also say that we don't contest the need for safe schools. That's never been an issue. But we also are in a period of declining enrollment in the state of California. So while certainly there are significant needs with respect to rehabilitation, the demand for new school construction is ever decreasing. Now, there's obviously some need for new schools, but we have to put this in context. This brings us to the number one concern we have, and that is, as Senator Glaser correctly notes, there is usually a requirement for matching local funds for school construction. And a provision that is not found in the ballot measure itself is a provision that doubles the debt limits, that nearly doubles the debt limits at the local level. So in addition to taxpayers being on the hook for potentially $26 billion of debt at the state level, there is a significant exposure and risk to local property owners for higher property taxes, because local school bonds are repaid exclusively by property owners. So that is perhaps the biggest concern we have, and I think voters need to be aware that if this passes, the debt caps that currently exist at the local level will be substantially increased, and that certainly gives the green light to higher property tax.
All right, let me be specific with that. So what this would do for elementary and high schools, K through 12, the limit of assessed value of property in the district for the level of the bonded debt, is 1.25 is what it has been. It would raise it to 2%, so a significant increase, nearly doubling it. And for high schools, it would go from 2.5% to 4%. So that is a significant increase in the cap on borrowing. John, I did want to ask you, though, about, you mentioned the surplus that's in the state budget. Historically, though, hasn't it been thought of that when you're doing capital improvements to schools, that it actually makes more sense, particularly when interest rates are low, to pay that off over time through a bond as opposed to using current funds to pay for something that's going to be of benefit for, say, 30 years?
Yes, I think that is correct. There is a proper place for bonds for long-term capital improvements, but we have to make sure that whatever improvements are being made have the effective life of the bond. It makes no sense to use a bond, for example, to do a capital improvement that's only going to last 5 years if it's a 30-year bond. So, yeah, the answer, Larry, you're absolutely right, and we would concede that bonds can play a role. However, I would also point out that much of California's infrastructure, like the California Water Project under Pat Brown many, many years ago, much of the infrastructure that we built in California was done on a pay-as-you-go basis, because when you pay for critical infrastructure on a pay-as-you-go basis, you avoid having to pay nearly double the cost in interest costs. All that additional $16 billion will not be going into schools. It'll be going to the bondholders, which, again, can be a legitimate way. But we think, given the fact that we have the surplus and the debt service for the state of California is increasing fairly dramatically. And when we talk about debt in California, we have all kinds of debts. We could spend an entire...
Sure. Let me break in, John, because I want to bring the senator back in to respond to all this. Steve Glaser, Democratic senator, and one of the authors of Proposition 13, this $15 billion bond measure on the March 3rd ballot. Senator, your response to John Kupal of Howard Jarvis, his point about the surplus in the state education budget that could go to this.
Right. Well, first, I very much respect and appreciate John's advocacy on behalf of taxpayers. And I think on a lot of occasions here in Sacramento, we find ourselves in agreement. And so I consider myself a very tax-sensitive Democrat. But let me now specifically address the issues that that he has raised. First, Larry, you were correct that the investments that are for capital, meaning long-term lifespans, this type of borrowing is very common. That's why you don't pay for your house in all costs, right? You usually take out a mortgage because the house isn't going to be obsolete in 5 years. It's going to be around for 30 or 40 years, and it's perfectly reasonable to pay that off over time. Most people say that we're not spending enough money on schools, enough money on education. There's great need there. And John is right that when you incur debt, that the first obligation of the state budget is to pay off that debt. And in this case, it means that we're going to be able to put more money into schools and education, because that is money that's not going to come out of the general budget for schools. It's going to be on top of it. So, yes, incurring debt for long-term capital needs is appropriate, and it's going to put more state money into our schools. A third thing that John raised was declining enrollment. Most of the money in this bond is not going for brand new facilities. Most of the money is going to rehab and repair existing facilities. I talked about toxic mold, I talked about drinking water issues, asbestos, seismic repairs. These are things that are going to improve the life of those facilities for the long term, and there are serious health and safety issues. So even though there is some decline in enrollment statewide, that's not the focus of most of the money from this bond. And finally, on the issue of increasing the local debt limit, yes, that is a provision of this measure. But increasing the cap doesn't mean allowance for borrowing. That's still a local choice. So every school district that wants to borrow more money above their existing cap, that's a matter that goes before the local voters, where they have to decide at high margins whether to say yes or no to it.
My understanding, though, Senator, is that under the current law, districts that want to go above that cap can petition the state for the right to do it, to show that they've got the financial solvency to take on that additional debt, and that's not a huge hurdle for them to overcome. They can get the state approval and then put the bond measure on the ballot that would put them over the written cap. Why is that not sufficient to deal with these, to make sure that you don't have at-risk school districts over-borrowing?
Well, because the same financial oversight that you speak of remains in place for school districts and their operating budget and their capital budget. That scrutiny happens every year. That's why at LA Unified, that kind of scrutiny happens every year about how they spend their money. The ultimate check on borrowing are the voters. That is a debate that can occur in every measure that's put forward that goes above the existing limitation. So why should there be an artificial limitation when at the end of the day, we're going to put that choice to the voters to have the debate like we're having on your show, and then they can decide whether it's a prudent investment, it's a prudent level of borrowing, or it's not.
Let me one more item, and that is that, as I understand it, this Proposition 13 in March would ban school districts from charging developers fees for multifamily projects within a half mile of major transit, buses, rail, ferry transit up in your area of Alameda, and for all other multifamily projects, fees would be reduced by 20%. Doesn't that essentially then shift those educational costs for new schools onto the people that already live in the communities, as opposed to the developers taking on that responsibility?
Right. It's a good question. And what we're facing now is we have twin needs. We have a serious housing problem in our state, certainly in Los Angeles. And the availability of housing, affordable housing, is a serious state problem. And so this measure tries to conform with things that we're doing within the state to try to encourage more housing development, particularly in places where there's good mass transit. So I see that as a smart measure, creates a partnership between two important state needs: how we protect our kids that are in schools, give them the facilities where they can learn, and also promoting affordable housing that we also know is so critically important to our state. This measure marries those two together. They're coordinated, so we make smart choices, and that's what Proposition 13, a very smart choice that benefits the state, not just our school children, but also in our twin desire of building more affordable housing.
We're talking with East Bay Area State Senator Steve Glaser, who is one of the authors of the bond measure you'll have a chance to vote on Tuesday, March 3rd, California primary ballot. It's a $15 billion bond measure to go toward public schools in California to modernize their buildings and to deal with infrastructure challenges that they face. Also, new school construction where necessary. John Kupala is the president of the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. John, just a final word from you about why you think voters should turn their thumb down on this.
Well, first of all, I think you put your thumb on an important issue here, and that is why the developers are supporting this. They do get relaxations from some of the impact fees that they're currently required to impose, and I think that's one of the reasons you're seeing that the California Building Industry Association is a big sponsor of this bill, because it helps relieve some of their financial obligations that they've had in the past. And by the way, I don't blame them for supporting this, because housing is a critical issue, but I don't think we should be sacrificing existing homeowners for the benefit of developers. Steve and I would absolutely agree that there are lots of housing solutions out there. I don't think higher taxes should be a part of that. I think that's part of the driving of housing unaffordability in the state of California. At the end of the day, our biggest complaint about this particular proposal is the exposure of existing property owners, homeowners, to higher property taxes because of the requirement for the matching funds.
John Kupals, president of the Howard Jarvis Taxpayer Association, thank you, sir, for being with us. Our thanks to Senator Glaser as well. You can share your comments, as many already are, on the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. So now I need to hear from you. A couple days before Valentine's Day, we're looking at several segments that are related to romance. This kind of an odd one, but we were kicking this around in our production meeting this morning. I thought it would be fun. How do your phobias play into your romantic relationship? Maybe you're fearful of crowds, and that's something that comes up in your relationship. It could be insects. It could be heights. Who knows what the phobia is? How does that play out with your spouse or with your romantic partner? Or even in dating, how has it been an issue? 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722. I need you to get into the Valentine's Day spirit and join me in the upcoming segment. We'll be back in just 90 seconds.